After the apocalypse, when all human culture has been destroyed, what will be left? Cockroaches? Well, maybe. But more certainly, what will be left is social media influencers. Nothing could kill them. That, anyway, seems to be the contention behind a new ABC web series called Sarah's Channel. By turns, bleak and hilarious, poignant and satiric. It stars Claudia O'Doherty, the Sydney actor who's been making big waves in LA recently, and Nick Coyle, who created the show as well as performing as one of the more memorable characters on Sarah's Channel. The show is being showcased at Comic-Con in San Diego, from where they both join us. Claudia, Nick, welcome to Drive.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. It's very exciting to be here.
Well, this show is so weird and so good. Nick, how did you come up with an idea this weird?
Well, I was just trying to find a way to justify wasting my life watching actual beauty blog videos. And I thought, since I've done all this research without trying, why not try to explore the world in a way that hasn't been seen before?
Okay, so you're taking really two things that feel like opposites and scrunching them together in a time-honored comic way, I guess.
Yeah, it's a real collision of genres.
The two genres being?
The kind of newer genre of the sort of self-styled beauty vlogger, YouTube star, and the more classic genre of sci-fi.
Post-apocalyptic sci-fi.
Post-apocalyptic, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And is the starting point that when you watch these beauty vloggers, they're so sort of peppy and upbeat and optimistic, you kind of do wonder what would happen if, you know, something terrible happened.
Yeah, exactly. And also with most of them, I can sense a deep hidden sadness. And so I thought, why not have a show where you could see that peppiness actively battling that deep inner sadness.
Okay, so Claudia, the world has been basically destroyed. We were under the surface of the planet somehow, living in this strange, strange, unconnected world full of mole men. How do you perform the peppy Sarah?
Well, you just do it, Richard. I think the thing is those beauty vloggers are in such control of what they put on YouTube anyway. I kind of do feel like if this were real, if Sarah was in this post-apocalyptic nightmare, this is what she would do. It would be the most comforting thing for her to do. And of course, she's also very sad, and you see glimpses of that as well, the crying, the suicidal tendencies, but that's all hidden. And that's the thing about those YouTube bloggers, is that they can hide everything pretty much.
So her impulse is just to keep vlogging.
Yes.
Yeah. Keep vlogging or die.
Even though no one's, because of the collapse of technology, no one's listening. No one's at the other end. No one's there to like it.
Yeah. It's like on Titanic, how the musicians kept playing.
Yeah. It's equally as noble as that.
It's just as moving as that.
And, the other bizarre thing about the show is the makeup is just incredible. Claudia, you look like Claudia, which is good. But, Nick,
to get a small Ethiopian actor to come in, and then we just use prosthetics to build Claudia.
That's right. Well, she can't spare time from her LA career for you, Nick. You know,
very busy over here.
No, the prosthetics were a big part of it, and were a big part of the budget as well. So we really wanted to get them right to create a believable world, and to create a world that would sort of explain how dire her situation was. So we needed truly scary, truly adorable mole people.
Mm. You're a perfectly decent-looking man, Nick.
Thank you.
Richard.
Well, you know, I tell it as it is. And yet on this show, you seem to, the whole bottom of your face has collapsed. How do you achieve that?
Acting and talent. If you're truly talented, you can collapse parts of your face. But it really is Odd Studio who were the geniuses who did our prosthetics. I did lots of sketches of how I wanted the mole people to be. And they really took that and then blew our minds with what they created. I mean, it's a big time consuming job.
It's a lot of latex, right?
A lot of latex and then just actual fear to create the characters. So
I mean, presumably you must have to, I don't want to destroy the secrets of the show, but you must have to build up your forehead in some amazingly big way to make your chin look that weak.
Yeah, well, there's an episode where I have my sort of shroud off and it's my whole head. So they cast my whole head in plaster and then built the prosthetics onto that and then stuck those prosthetics onto my face. And then I just collapsed my chin into my skull and then the magic happens.
How long does it take them to put it on your head?
When it was the full head day, it was about 4 hours.
Wow. 4 hours because it's a web series. The episodes are short, right?
Yeah, I think they're all around 4 or 5 minutes maximum.
So 1 hour per minute of screen time in the makeup chair.
yeah, not a good use of time.
Claudia Adoti and Nick Coyler here from San Diego. It's a lovely story, your story, because, yeah, Claudia is, and we'll talk about this in a second, but she's been whisked off to this sort of glamorous life in LA. She's in all these Netflix series and, you know, Amy Schumer's her best friend and all this sort of stuff. But you guys work together in uni, right?
It's true. We're Sydney Uni friends.
We met doing the Arts Review.
We're doing the Arts Review in 2003.
Don't say when it was.
It was very recently. And, you know, we're doing sketches together. We formed a sketch group called Pig Island. We did shows in very hot, unair-conditioned rooms in Sydney for years.
And across the globe.
And Melbourne Comedy Festival, all of that stuff.
Don't forget Adelaide.
We did. Yeah, we did do a show in a shipping container in Adelaide. That was, I think it was 50 degrees Celsius inside.
Yes.
It was very unpleasant. But now look at us, sweating in latex for the internet.
For the ABC. Nick, right. When you were watching Claudia's amazing rocketing success, was half of you thinking, oh, that's great, she's so talented, the world has woken up to it, and the other part of you thinking, oh, this means we won't be able to work together because I'm not as famous as Amy Schumer?
It was mostly jealousy. but I also knew if I kept the friendship alive, she would eventually let me cast her in one of my things, and it's paid off.
Was it hard to pretend to like her?
It is, but again, acting, great actor, talent.
He just collapses his chin into his skull and we're laughing.
And tell us how it's been for you, Claudia, because obviously you had a lot of successes here, you know, with the Melbourne Comedy Festival and stuff, but then something pretty weird happens, weird great happens when you go to London.
Well, I was doing my shows for the Melbourne Comedy Festival and, you know, those were all as well. They went fine, but I was earning about $3,000 a year. And then I moved to London because there was a bigger scene to do live comedy so I could just, you know, have a tiny bit more money and a bit more to do. And then I made a web series for Channel 4. And the great thing about that, and this one too, is it because it goes online, people can watch it in any country. And then Amy Schumer saw it. She sent me a message on Twitter. And then my life changed forever.
So she essentially quite rapidly cast you in that film of hers, Trainwreck.
She did, yeah. I was, you know, I had an audition a few days late. At first I did the table read, so that was a very surreal experience. And I didn't understand whether or not meant I was just listening to the script to give them my opinion, which seemed very unlikely, but also the idea that I might be up for a part seemed really unlikely. Essentially, I just didn't believe that any of it was happening.
Mm. That film comes out, and then there's a whole nother level of this trajectory, which is that at that point, Judd Apatow, he's directing that film, and he says, oh, look, you know, I'm working on a series. How about you be in it?
Yeah, and when he said that, I really didn't believe that one because he sort of just like poked his head into the makeup trailer and was like, we're developing a show about LA. Do you want to come and talk about a character for that? And I was like, yeah, right. But and also, I mean, then in the other very Hollywood way, I didn't hear anything for a few months, and I went back to my house in London, which had lots of mice, and it was very cold. And so I thought, that was crazy. That's certainly never going to happen. But then that happened. That actually happened too. And then I moved to LA.
Now, that was love, and you got a chance to, unlike a lot of Australian actors who go to LA and have to pass as American, they have to use the American accent, Birdie is Aussie, isn't she?
She is, thank goodness for me, because I can't do a very good American accent. The great thing about Judd and Amy, I think, because I did, when I did that first table read, I was like, am I meant to do an American accent? And they looked at me horrified. They were like, no, absolutely not. Please just do your own thing. And I think they both realized that people tend to be like at their funniest when they're at their most comfortable. Mm. And they'd seen these videos I'd made. I was Australian in them. So they were like, that's what we want.
Okay, now, you know, I hate actors who claim credit for the writing, but because I think that often doesn't, you know, they exaggerate. But you can tell moments in love where you have told them about Australian slang, Australian language, Australian almost attitude, I think.
It's true.
Tina Arena.
I told, yes, there is a Tina Arena reference that definitely wouldn't have made it in there otherwise.
Hello, Tina, if you're listening.
Please watch the web series, Tina. We would love to hear your feedback. And it was such a fun collaborative show in that way, because they would be like, do you have this? Would you say this? Or I'd say, we would never say this word. Mm-hmm. We can't say.
And tell me how you viewed it, Nick, because honestly, her character in Love, a lot of people have said that's their favourite thing about the show. How did you read it, knowing her so well and seeing everyone respond to what is, you know, a very Claudia O'Doherty tone in this character?
It's a very Claudia O'Doherty tone, but it's a very different outfit choice. So it was incredibly exciting to see her on the silver screen, but in clothes that she would just never ever wear. So that dichotomy was a real thrill to watch.
Yeah, thank God you've been able to bring her back to Australia, bring her back down to ground, and put her in a decent outfit in Sarah's channel.
To a very me pink overalls and pink shirt combo.
We're talking to Claudia O'Doherty and Nick Cole about Sarah's channel. It's currently running on ABC Comedy. It's a web series. Can I talk to you about web series? Nick, is it something that you do in order to get kind of credibility and a byline and, almost like a calling card so as to get people to give you a proper TV series? Or is it an art form in itself which is better than half-hour comedy?
I think for me, I hope it's the former. I really do. But that said, I do think there are advantages to web series. You haven't got as many, bosses or hoops to jump through. You have more artistic freedom. And obviously that's a dream. But this was my first one. So I really don't know how it's going to go or how it really works. But I hope it just leads to more work.
It's less interference and less money.
Mm. But as you say, people you never know who's going to be watching it. They can watch it around the world. I mean, tomorrow is quite interesting because you're in San Diego, both of you, for Comic-Con. This is the first time an Australian web series has really got that kind of platform.
Yeah, apparently, which is really exciting.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
We have no idea. We're terrified.
We just really hope people will be there for a panel. We're doing a panel, a Q&A. But we're just excited to find out what exactly it is, and how we got in there is a mystery. But I mean, it can only lead to good things, I hope.
Yeah. Well, everyone I've talked to who've seen, maybe a couple of people have only seen the first episode, and you really need to watch it because it really builds and you get to understand what's going on. But everyone who's listened to watched the whole lot just adores it. They find it really fresh, really funny, really poignant, and really... like it has something to say about our current obsessions.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. I'm so thrilled because that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I wanted it to be, I was a little bit worried that it was too niche a sort of genre to satirize. But I think because of the great prosthetics and Claudia's stunning ability, she is a very relatable character in a very dire situation. So
I yeah, weirdly you end up, you kind of hate her at some points, so you end up really feeling for her.
She's very flawed.
Claudia O'Doherty is here, and Nick Cole. Can you talk to us about this creative life that you've both chosen? Because it has got these incredible highs, but it's also got these incredible lows. Claudia talked about, you know, the doing your annual tax return and realizing you've made, you know, a couple of $1,000. I know, Nick, you had a play on at Griffin last year, which was, you know, everyone loved, but it's a small theatre. I can't believe you walked away with huge quantities of dough. Talk to me about being a kid and trying to choose a career and why you chose this one. Nick, you go first.
I think it's a combination of being a lucky white person who gets to do whatever they want. But I also think for me, it's just an inability to do anything else. And I have tried to have a more conventional job, and I just wanted to leave my body. So this is the path I've chosen, but also the path that I feel was, you know, chosen for me.
What was the conventional job you attempted?
I was a heart surgeon. It didn't go well.
Nicholas, what was the job you attempted?
I was a barista for many years. I've been, you know, lots of waitering, and I've worked in lots of offices. I do illustrations for, you know, I understand the benefit of a paycheck and colleagues and, you know, Christmas parties, but I would still rather be insecure and alone.
But still able to make a good flat white. And Claudia, of course, you grew up in a creative family. Your father is Reg Mombassa, from Mental as Anything, all those clever uncles who are artists and Mambo T-shirt makers and all of that. With that background, what was the choice for you?
I think that probably gave me a huge license to think that any kind of creative job was not a ridiculous idea. So me wanting to sort of be an actor or a comedy person in any way, like that, I think that seems fairly normal. Because a lot of people in my family tend to pursue the artistic thing they feel excited about.
You got a sister who's a painter, don't you, I think?
Yeah, she's a very good painter. Yeah. Hi, Lucy O'Doherty. Lucy O'Doherty.
Hello, Lucy. Yeah.
Hi, Lucy.
If you see any of Lucy's paintings, by all means,
like and subscribe.
That's a little voice from Sarah's channel. Tell me about your parents, though, and Claudia, and how they've sort of gone on the journey with you. They must have been thrilled when it kind of all went right for you.
Yeah, I think everyone was shocked, and we're all shocked and amazed. No, my parents have always been very supportive and lovely, and have never sort of said, it's about time you get a normal job. So, but we were all amazed when I was suddenly in America and working over here. They've always just been so nice about it. And then there's like the fun stuff where, because, you know, my dad was in Mental as Anything, where he has memories of when they came here to tour in the 80s, and he tells me about the restaurants they went to, and I'm like, I go to that restaurant. Musso and Frank's is the restaurant I'm talking about.
And he also tells you about the kettles in motels he's boiled fish in.
Yes, that is one of his favourite touring cooking techniques.
So you can go to the same motel as your dad and cook the same breed of fish in the same kettle.
It's the dream.
It's a generational dream. Father's dream of that.
Yes, absolutely.
And just finally, what's next for both of you? Nick, what's next for you?
I would love to see if we can find a way to make a second season of Sarah's Channel, a full-length season, and then see how that goes. So that's the plan.
Have you seen the ABC budget?
I know, that is terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a bit of a problem.
And what about you, Claudia?
I'm developing a show over here as well that I was already developing, which is based on the web series that I made for Channel 4 years ago. So,
which was a kind of a what is Britain kind of web show,
exactly.
Wasn't it?
Exactly. But it's time to say that about America. Yes, that's right.
So what is America, and try to figure it out?
Exactly.
You're setting yourself a fairly large task at the moment.
I can do it, Richard. I'm not scared. I can do it.
Well, everyone in this office anyway just thinks it's fantastic, and so, as I say, so fresh, so different, and so a mix of all these feelings you get when watching it, from the the poignant love for poor old Sarah to a quite a satiric laugh at her expense. Congratulations on it. Good luck with the Comic-Con in San Diego, and we hope all the Americans fawn all over the series and lift you up to worldwide stardom, both of you, because you deserve it. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Richard.
That's so nice. Thank you. Bye-bye.
There's Claudia O'Doherty and Nick Coyle from Sarah's channel. You can find it on ABC iView. Yeah, just put Sarah's channel into the search engine, or go to ABC Comedy on iView and you can catch all the episodes there for free. You're listening to ABC Radio Sydney.